When Richardson was interviewed by Science magazine, he said, "It looks like it's turning out to be one of the most famous fakes in biology." In 2000, evolutionary biologist Stephen Jay Gould called Haeckel's embryo drawings fraudulent and wrote, "We do, I think, have the right to be both astonished and ashamed by the century of mindless recycling that has led to the persistence of these drawings in a large number, if not a majority, of modern textbooks." Yet the recycling continues. In 2004, Haeckel's embryo drawings were used as evidence for Darwinism in the 10th edition of Starr and Taggart's Biology, The Unity and Diversity of Life. In an early version of Raver's Biology, Patterns and Processes of Life, and in the 3rd edition of Vogt and Vogt's Biochemistry. It seems that the evidence Haeckel supposedly provided for Darwin's theory is just too good to give up, and Darwinists continue to make excuses for his fakery. According to evolutionary biologist Jerry A. Coyne, Haeckel merely doctored his drawings. Anthropologist Eugenie C. Scott of the militantly pro-Darwin National Center for Science Education, an organization we shall meet again and again throughout this book, says forgivingly that he may have fudged his drawings somewhat. And textbook writer Douglas J. Futuyima notes euphemistically that Haeckel did improve his drawings. In any other scientific field, people making excuses for fraud like this would probably be disgraced or drummed out of the profession. Coyne, Scott, and Futuyima justify their defense of Haeckel by claiming that his faked drawings illustrate a deeper truth. Scott says, "The basic point that's being illustrated by those drawings is still accurate." Coyne writes, "Embryos of different vertebrates tend to resemble one another in early stages, but diverge as development proceeds." And Futuyima claims that early vertebrate embryos really are more similar overall than the animals are later in development. All of these statements are false. When an animal egg is fertilized, it first goes through a process called cleavage, during which it subdivides into hundreds or thousands of separate cells. At the end of cleavage, the cells begin to rearrange themselves in a process known as gastrulation, which is responsible for establishing the animal's shape and generating tissues and organs. According to British embryologist Lewis Wolpert, it is not birth, marriage, or death, but gastrulation which is truly the most important event in your life. Yet only after cleavage and gastrulation does a vertebrate embryo reach the stage that Haeckel labeled the first. If it were true, as Darwin and Haeckel claimed, that vertebrates are most similar in their earliest stages, then the various classes would be most similar during cleavage and gastrulation. Yet a survey of the 5 classes portrayed by Haeckel, bony fish, amphibian, reptile, bird, and mammal, reveals that this is not the case. The cleavage patterns in 4 of the 5 classes show some general similarities,